Accession number 30024, reel 14.
Well, of course, watery skilly, you keep stirring, because if you leave it, everybody gets the water, and you have the nice thick skilly at the bottom, you see. But we had to do something about that, because he was living like a lord against us, you see. Anyway, how did he get rid of him? Did he get moved to another compound? The days of your history, I can't remember. I know he wasn't liked, and he eventually put away. While I was in the prison of war camp, he was sort of demoted, put it that way. I don't know quite what really happened to him. He could have been moved out into another compound through pressure, you know. But otherwise, it was just, you're all together. And they were very lazy on count-ups, the ITIs. Germans were a different kettle of fish. I keep seeing a different kettle of fish. Get out of the habit. But we were just told, we were counted in our bungalow, but you said to stand by our beds, like bunk beds, one on top of the other. And we were counted that way, where the Italians were concerned. But where Germans was concerned, first thing in the morning, on parade. Because when we were in the beet sugar factory, there was a tubby Feldwebel in charge, and he got relieved because I think he was too lenient. I wouldn't say like lenient as we call lenient, but where they were concerned. And there's apparently no equivalent in German dismiss, like sort of turn right and fall out, you see. Well, our camp leader and Dolmesh, or interpreter at that time, they were the two people. They had to do, they had to work, but in a different way to us, you see, because they were on call for whatever Jerry wanted, like so sort of, at that time. And of course, we at Lapel, Cantor, and Vic Oliver, I think that was it, Vic Oliver. He said, "Okay, Lance, dismiss." And they're like, "Good, good. Attention, dismiss." And we'd automatically fall in. Well, this felt the leaves tickled pink. And he liked the idea of coming to attention and turning right and falling out. And he got round and he wanted to do it. But he didn't say dismiss. He said, "Rechtum," which is turn right, or right turn. And and that's how he... Oh, and he's tickled pink then. He goes, no. And then, Achtung. He didn't say attention. Achtung. And we'd all call out, you see. And, Rechtum. And we turned around for that. And he was tickled pink. And in the end, he got transferred. And this other chap, he came in and expected a salute. Well, we don't salute without a cap. Well, we don't salute NCOs. And anyway, it was just after winter, and it was quite sharp weather still, and they had us out in the open air. And because it was piece work, right through the season, and that was like 2 till 10, 10 till 2, 2 till 10. Night work, and or 10 till 6, I don't know, 6 till 10, you know. And that had to go on, but all the rest of us were out in file, and we had to go up to him and salute, you see. And everybody says, "Take your caps off." Nobody shows any caps, so we went up to him like that, you know. put no cap on. You see, it didn't mean anything to us then, like as British forces. But that's how he sort of thought he was getting away with it, you know. But we made sure if we had to salute him, we had no cap on. And apart from that, oh, the guards, I think, were on their toes more, because Chubby Boy, I think it's while he was there, if you were off duty at 2 o'clock, I think, yeah, if you were off duty at 2, you could go for a little walk under escort. And I used to try and beat the band one thing or the other. If it had been on night duty, I'd still try and go for a walk, you know, and then have a rest before going on for 10 o'clock. And vice versa, if I could get off and before they left premises, you know, get the guard, oh yeah, I'm on the walking party, you know. It was rather nice. But this one particular instance, it was like wintry, and this chap, he took us up outside the town, and we went right up this big hill at the back, is called Kop Heap. He said it was called Jungfrau, but it wasn't a real Jungfrau, because this was in Saxony, Lebo. But it was a winter sort of sports area, because it had ski runs down the hill with rustic rails for the spectators. And right on the top was a wrought iron observation tower with... they had symbols down. They weren't... what do you call it? Astrology symbols. But they were symbols of some description. And you could, in normal times, you could walk, you know, go up to this tower. And also, there was this observation platform out into the space from the hillside, sort of style. And there was a closed up, like, little restaurant place. So everything was closed, of course. But we were tickled pink because we had no greatcoats on and anything. And we were up to our knees in snow, and the sun was shining, and it was a real day out. But he swore blind, like he said, no, please, 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 if anybody says where you've been, just say so-and-so and so-and-so. He says, no, I'll get into trouble for taking you up there, you know, showing you all around. Yes. Fortunately, the weather, like, because it was snowy, like, the visibility wasn't quite as clear as it could have been. But from there, by golly, real panoramic view. And that was really something that we had. But that was only in the Beach Chicken Factory, and the adventures that we had there, or I had there. And then, of course, we moved from there. At the end of the season, we moved from there to the building site at Kleinschimmel. And I can't... Then, Groschen now is mentioned on the map, but not Kleinschimmel now. But that may not have been a place that you... It may not even have been a proper village, because that was only a... That place there only happened to be an unfinished German barracks. That's like it was our first billet. We forgot, we moved back to Zittau in the old factory while the Jewish prisoners took over our barracks battery. Yes. But
you mentioned a bit before there was a difference between the Wehrmacht and the SS.
Oh, yes, very much so. We didn't realise until we were on this site, because we hadn't come in contact with any SS as such, only the Gestapo, blokes in civilian dress, with the guards, you see. But when the Jewish prisoners came into the site, they were under SS guard. And our guards were, if anything, subservient to them. If they, SS guards, you know, get away, our guard would get away. And I like, we, quite innocently, when they first came, the poor devils, and we went to help them, you know, so for you, blimey, fool, get away. And I, our guards, you see, they were scared stiff. Oh, no, 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 SS, SS, you know. But they didn't, for a minute, you know, we were surprised that two individuals in the German army, to our knowledge at that time, were only two squaddies, and yet one was scared of the other. But I think that was because of the political side of things. You see, the true old German officer, he still saluted. Few of them would hail salute. And they were, I think there was a resentment of the German forces in large. They wanted to be German forces, to be left as German forces, not political people like the SS and the Gestapo. They were more like our own army and officers, you know, background and things like that. I don't think they had much sway because Hitler and his, you know, hirelings, they really were powerful in the end, very powerful. But everything was an experience, especially with the Jewish prisoners. I mean, I know our lads, when they came after D-Day and all that, they were able to open up the awful camps, you know. But the Jewish prisoners that I was with, that was on our site, and poor miserable things. They would, if they went, nobody looking, they'd try and get round the back of the cooking area and try and pinch something out the waste bins, you know. Well, that wouldn't be much because life wasn't exactly rosy for Germans then, you know. Rations were sparse and as I say, it was quite an experience.
And you also mentioned before, after you came back, the barbed wire complex. Do you know to what sort of extent that affected people?
Only myself. I got away with it lightly, I think. What happened was I came back to UK and was on 10 weeks repatriation leave. Went back for another 12 months because, well, officially 6 months, and 6 months on army pay for overseas leave for all the years I'd been away. Because my age group, at group 25, froze when I came home, and where older men were immediately discharged, I was held back for another 12 months, as it happened, like. And that's where I was posted around. But I lost the thread now. Oh, fill me in, Toby.
You're just talking about the effect of barbed wire.
Oh, yes, it's a bigger part. Yeah, that's right, of course. Well, then, I couldn't go back to my old little glove firm because he wasn't ready to absorb me on, because I had power of, you know. So I said, I'll fill in while I can, until, because, I mean, he's quite nice. He did take me in after, like, later on when he's ready. In the meantime, I worked in this Hessian sack and bag factory that had been bombed out of they'd been blitzed out of their old premises, and they'd been given these run-down premises to carry on business and work. Samuel Noble, who's a Northern Irish man, and he was a go-ahead chap. And I was a slightly different person because, like, it was a rougher type of job and all that. So I was in charge of the office at first, and then as time went on, he let me have his new department, which he because of his go-ahead business actually, and the Hessian cloth for sex was under the Jute rationing in the supervision of the Jute Industries Limited, and they were allowing a bigger, larger quota to him because of his increased business, you see. And he formed a new department where he was concerned of making actually new sacks for sugar and like farming and stuff and whatnot. And he let me have that department for me. And I had a staff of girls, of machinists, as well as like labourers. That was another experience because they were Liverpool Irish girls. And but given their due, if you led them and worked with them, they could work. Oh yes, for females they were really tough, you know. But I had to work with them. Anyway, one thing and another, I can't put a finger on it personally, but Mr. Noble, he says, you know, Bushley, he said, there's something not quite right. Well, I knew there wasn't any right, but I couldn't tell him what it was. And he says, you know, you've done your bit. He said, no, let them do their bit. And it was through him making inquiries that I eventually literally went back into the army to the medical rehabilitation centre. And I always, I wasn't alone, but I always referred to the Nut House. People say, the Nut House? I said, yeah, I was in the Nut House. Well, it was Peaver Hall, Knutsford, in Cheshire. And that's, and of course, we just went, ah, the Nut House. But it was there, quite a few Jap prisoners, because they'd had it much more severe and much rougher. But it was the confinement. But where we were, like a few German prisoners, like myself, it was the, apparently, the psychological effect of not only being behind the barbed wire, but it wasn't the ill-treatment so much as the mental ill-treatment. Well, now, of course, you have counselling here and counselling there and everywhere a counsellor. But in my day, you see, our lads came back. They had the same symptoms as some of these chappies coming back. But there's nobody there for them, you see. It seems how life has changed and how progress has been made, you see. Oh, yes. And then I had a talk with the MO and one thing and another. And he found out I had played the piano. He said, oh, no, he says, there's a piano in the gym. He says, yes, go on, let it go. I said, I can't play without music. Oh, he says, we'll have to find some music for you, you know, something. And everything, jolly hockey sticks and all that. And anyway, that was that. And eventually, I came home again. And in the meantime, my boss had been inquiring after me. My old boss, of course. And Mr. Noble said, you go back. It's like for you to go back to your old boss because I'm more. And that was it. That's how I resumed life again. Home life. And I was 6 months up to demob. Oh, no, that's right, yeah. I know it was after demob when I, of course, I'm sorry. And I got, you see, my dates are a whole haywire now. And I had to go for Five Oaks and Billingshurst, Sussex. I was went back there to be retrained. And then from there I was posted to Southend-on-Sea. It was a big, as far as I know, 2,000 men holding battalion, because they were coming and going from overseas and all that, Far East and all that. And the warrant officer there wanted to put me on permanent staff, and I told him politely that I wasn't interested in permanent staff. I'd only been posted there, and I was waiting for demob in my hometown, Liverpool. Anyway, eventually I was posted back to Liverpool, and that was when I was January 46. No. Oh gosh. It was either January or June 46. No, January 46, that's right. And from January to June, I was on Overseas Army pay because I'd been away for like all those years. That's it, that's right. Yes, and then I was a free man once again. Well, not really, because I was a married man.
Did you find that the time with the medical unit helped with this, psychologically, or were there still ongoing situations afterwards?
Well, actually, what happened? Not a lot, really. The MO kept, you know, talking to you and interrogating you and sort of all the while. Like, for instance, you know, get playing your piano. If you did, get out. You said, go on, have a go. You know, just go on. And they also had the person that supplied the music was another pin-up. And but she was engaged to the MO. But she was a real, well, she was, of course, a youngster to us, a young lady to us. But she was the occupational therapist. Because I think one of my toys is still in keeping in Chippenham. My daughter has saved it. I know I made a royal blue felt elephant with scarlet nails or style, scarlet howdah or blanket and tassels. I made a squirrel, felt squirrel, nice, great, big, brushy tail of felt. But my best one was the hand hold-all, all leather, hold-all, cost the earth now. And it was a whole, and it was all hand-stitched. My fingers were bleeding through painstakingly, man. But that's been all over the country and round, goodness knows, because after I'd had a go with it, it went to my daughter. And for all I know, it could be still in their loft. Yes. It's one of those, like, you would never wear it out in a way, that sort of style. To get a real leather bank grip like that now, it would be quite an expensive item. Yes, and that would cost nothing in my day because it was part of my project, you see. Well, that was that. And oh, I know, I beg your pardon. Oh, memory. And we went around about, we went into from there, Knutsford, well, just outside Knutsford, because Piva. Oh, you won't know the area. We have the Devril Valley here. You've got the Devrils. You've got Longbridge Devril, Brixton Devril. I always get mixed up with that one. There's one missing out of that one. Brixton, Longbridge, and then a Longbridge, Brixton. Oh, damn it. And the last one is Kingston Devril. And they're in the Devril Valley, you see. Well, outside Knutsford, you've got the Pevers, where Pever Hall comes from. Only I can't remember that. There's Pever Minor, Pever Magna, Little Pever, or something, all over Pever Minor, Pever Magna. Little Pever, Over Pever, something like that. And you've seen it, but it's spelled P-E-O-V-E-R. You pronounce it P-O-V-E-R, like, but it isn't Pever. And I know that the unique thing at the Bells of Pever is a pub. But one of their exits is through the graveyard of the church next door. Bells of Pever. Mm. So that was, I suppose it's what you get counselling now, for all I know. Although progress has been made, so your counselling tactics now would possibly be a little bit more improved to what they were donkeys years ago. Yes.
Did you find that later on in life you were bothered by memories? And...
No. Only one point. When I first came home, it could have been while I was on repatriation leave, my wife, just recently, our friend Sir John Whittle, with the jet engine. Well, the first meteors were at, of course. Seaford? No, Seaford down there. Not far from Birkenhead where we were. And they used to do night flying, because I met a young pilot and he had a tales to tell. And they were really primitive planes, really, because they were new. But this was when I... And I'd break out into a sweat in bed. And my wife used to mention, and I went, don't worry, you know. And of course, I'd realise, oh, so-and-so things from, what was the name of the airfield? Not far away, in the Weddle, at the end of the Weddle. Cheshire. I'm sorry. I should know it because it wasn't very far away. But that was only for a time. But just for a moment, apparently I used to break out into this sweat in bed, you know, when these did the night flying. But that's all. As it happens, as I said, where there's no sense, there's no feeling. I'm just absorbed. I think possibly, that's like you most probably realised, get me talking, I'll keep on talking, you know. And I think that might have helped a lot. I'm not frightened of explaining the situation. Whereas as far as I know, other chaps, they can't get it out. And that plays more havoc with them than it has with me. That's all I can say. But then it's only me. It's like explaining, I don't know. I just don't know. I've had a few words with, like, not now, but years ago when he first came home from out of Burma, my brother-in-law, and he had, stories to tell with his Gurkhas. But as far as I know, it never worried him either. I know he suffered from a heat stroke and had to be relieved, brought out. But as far as I know, there's no after effects because he still went back to supervise his rugby. Because he was a rugby player. Mm. Yeah. And then, I can't. I only like Mac on the other side. The other week when he mentioned about he couldn't talk about. Well, that's it all, eh? His four young Germans being mown down is only like my four RPs vanishing after 25, well, literally equivalent of a 25-pounder, isn't it? There could have been more than one 25-pounder, because, as far as I know, the two guns were in action, went into action. And at that, they didn't need any laying on the target. It's open sight, you see. It's 100 yards. It just vanished. And what hit us was not only they've gone, knowing they've gone, but the vehicle vanished as well. There wasn't as much as a piece of metal like other vehicles that had been. When a petrol wagon goes up, at least it leaves the charred remains of the body. But this, of course, if that's like that, it most probably just disintegrate, and there's all this big hatch of disturbed sand. As they say, if you dug, you might have found something. God, we weren't in a position to do that. Some people It was horrific. But it's what's happened. The